You're listening to Captain John Doe, real aviation stories told anonymously. Let's get into it.
It's Wednesday, and our favorite day of the week is back. Welcome to the Captain John Doe podcast.
I'm Mindy.
And I am Kevin.
And happy Thanksgiving, guys. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. I cannot believe we're at the end of the year. It's stressful.
It's not stressful. It's exciting.
All the women listening are going to agree with me that it's stressful.
What's funny that you bring that up, because we're talking about gifts to get each
other.
That's
what I'm talking about, because the women typically,
women,
so sorry if you're a guy that manages this, but I doubt you do. All the women have to manage all the gifts. Yeah, you're not thinking about what to get your parents for Christmas. I have to think about what you have to get your parents for Christmas.
It's silly, because you go, what would you like? I'm like, well, I probably need a new pair of tennis shoes for work. And I see you online buying. I was like, why are you getting it now? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, I thought this is a Christmas gift. She's like, this is when you get Christmas gifts.
Yeah, you can't. See, that's a typical
point. No, we get Christmas gifts the day before.
No, that's why the women are stressed right now, because we are thinking about what gifts we have to get, and you have to get them in time. That way you can wrap them. And then
Amazon exists.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, not everything is purchased on Amazon. If, for example, the shoes you requested, not on Amazon. It takes a while to ship. So to our primarily male audience listening right now, two tasks for you. One, I want you to start thinking about what you're going to buy your wife, and I want you to buy it today. Because you do not need to be late.
You know you're not going to do that.
And two, I want you to go to the women in your life and just thank them and say thank you for managing all of this. Because I know it's a lot. You act like you like it and you do it with grace. And you probably do like it a little bit. But you take something off my plate, and I appreciate
that. We talked about this the other day pretty long in the tooth, but it was really, really funny. You made a comment about one of your coworkers, how his wife handles a lot of everything, right? And you told your buddy that that's where you went wrong. You married a husband and not a wife.
Yeah. Well, for context, a lot of the people I work with are dudes. I work in a male industry. Shocking. I sell airplanes, extremely male driven, and none of them can relate to me being a wife and woman of a household and running a successful career doing both. It's really difficult. And they're all like finding ways to buy back time via assistance and stuff. And I told them that my easiest way to buy back time is finding someone to help me with my house chores and to clean the house and do stuff like that. And they're like, oh, why would you need that? I'm like, because I don't have a wife. I was so stupid, and I got a husband instead of a wife.
A great husband at that.
You guys were smart, and you onboarded wives that help your life. And I don't even mean just stay-at-home wives, just a wife in general, whether she works or not, is freaking helpful.
Are you saying I'm not helpful?
I'm saying I wish I had a wife. My life would be so much easier.
It probably would be. Mine is really easy, if you're wondering, because I have a wife.
Yeah, lucky you. You're freaking smart. So to all you out there with wives, I am envious. You guys know what you're doing.
All right, Mindy's on a soapbox. So let's change the subject to something that is exciting for both of us. Let's just say happy birthday to Mojo, because we have now owned her for 3 years.
Well, it's our gotcha day, not birthday.
It's our birthday.
No, birthday is airworthiness.
It's a birthday to us. It's like when you get a new dog. You're done. That today's
your
birthday.
That's what I'm saying. It's a gotcha day.
All right. Gotcha.
A gotcha day is when you adopt something, like a puppy. And I wish I had a puppy.
So we got Mojo about 3 years ago.
You're going to get off that topic.
On purpose. Okay. On purpose. We got Mojo about 3 years ago. She was found in a barn in the Yellowstone area in Montana. And she was just pristine, with none of the updates that you guys see now. But we got her delivered to our little grass strip in Georgia. And it is awesome to see what that little airplane has done for us as now professional pilots. For me, to experience just like every little thing about general aviation and where it's taken us.
Yeah, I mean, forget about it being a tool. There's so many ways I could justify having a plane for our careers. But the joy it has brought us and how fortunate we are to be able to do what we do and fly in our own airplane, I would have never dreamed of having my own plane. I only decided to be a pilot when I was 18 on a whim because I was an 18-year-old who makes spontaneous decisions and I was chasing adrenaline and heard about flying airplanes. I'm really shortening this story. And was like, yeah, let's go do it. And I would have never, ever, ever dreamed, because I don't come from an aviation family, of owning an airplane. It is freaking wild. And like, sometimes I think that, not that we take it for granted, but I think that sometimes we forget just how freaking cool that is.
It is. So for those of you guys that know me on a personal level, I'm fairly emotionally vanilla. Okay, but
so stoic.
Yeah, stoic, and we're working on that. Anyways, I got the privilege of flying my parents for the first time in my airplane over the Grand Canyon. And when we enter the Grand Canyon, I got emotional, and that was something that is rare for me.
How could you not?
And it was like, my parents know nothing about this world, and we're flying in a private airplane over the Grand Canyon to give them that experience with my own airplane and my own skills that I've learned how to do on my own. Well, not on my own, with you.
Well,
I think that is maybe
the most rewarding part, is that your mom is deathly afraid of flying. She's deathly afraid of heights. She is so scared about everything that has to do with our industry. We land, praise baby Jesus, thank God, I can't believe you're on the ground again. That type of personality. Uh-huh. She always said that she would probably never fly with you. And if she ever did, it would only be if I was on board. But she came to visit, your parents did, and you took them flying without me. You guys went, just the three of you, and you took them on a tour over the Grand Canyon and the Hoover Dam. Gave them an incredible day. But the fact that your parents see you and respect you as a professional in the industry and got in the airplane and flew with you should be such a reward.
It is. We're using this new phrase between Mindy and I. We're proud of us, because like, really what did it is like, we've earned everything that we've got. Like, we bought that airplane. We trained ourselves. You know, every single thing, like our bank account is being utilized for every single asset of our progression. And the reward of showing my parents that they busted their ass and spent every dollar they had to make sure I had a better life than them, like almost came full circle in that moment. And it was hard for me in a couple seconds to like not let a little tear out. And it was awesome.
I think that is incredible. I mean, we were both fortunate to grow up with great parents that are both still together, great representations of who we want to be when we're older, who gave us the ability for us to be successful, but we weren't handed the success, especially in this industry. Both of our families are not in aviation. So for us to learn the ropes of this without having built-in mentors like a lot of our peers do, and we weren't handed the keys to an airplane, we weren't handed the knowledge of how to do things, we knew nothing, and we figured it out. And I think that we're fairly successful at what we're doing, and I am proud of us. And that's, like you said, something new that we are trying to do, is trying to reflect on where we're at, because we are both so goal driven on the future, about where we want to be in the future, that sometimes you can get lost in the sauce on where you're at now.
So let's reflect a little bit about what that airplane has done. You know, we started with just little trips to visit our family from Georgia. And then that spawned into business for you. That increased your ability to sell airplanes and make money, literally. Like, aviation is a time machine. Like, it allowed you to travel same day to see customers.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Florida, and that even opened the door to where seeing my family was an hour away, and it was so much more accessible because we've been gone from Florida for 10 years at that time, nearly. And we were able to visit everybody on the whim. And then we took it all the way up to Ohio, and we took it to Kentucky and North Carolina. We flew to Oshkosh in that little bird.
Yeah.
Like, how cool is that?
On display at Garmin Aviation, the most prestigious booth, in my opinion, at Oshkosh. Again, wouldn't ever dream of having a plane. Then once I achieved that, I'm like, wow, this is incredible. And now to look back that the little plane we bought was on display at the biggest air show in the world, front and center at the most reputable, amazing company I could think of in the industry. What?
What? And then to just like put the cherry on top, I'm no longer an air traffic controller
because
of that airplane, which is insane to say. That airplane gave me this dream of why I want to be a pilot. And it has nothing to do with the career aspect. It has everything to do with wanting to be in the plane.
Yeah.
And then we flew it across the country and we got to experience the West Coast.
And like, now exploring crazy. New places and new terrains and new weather systems. It's really grown us in our aviation
career.
Everyone looks at it like, oh, it's just a little 182. But I cannot tell you guys the lessons we have learned from flying this little airplane around the country.
The 67-year-old little airplane.
68.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I think that piston engine flying across the country is some of the most difficult flying you can do. Like, people look at jets and they're like, oh, wow, those people are so experienced, blah, blah. And they are. But to be fair, flying a jet at 40,000 feet A to B is so much easier to navigate than to fly a 182 across the country in winter and icing and thunderstorms. And you can't outclimb it. It's normally aspirated and terrain. Like, there is so much that goes
just
into
do pieces. Yourself a favor and go watch our series,
our moving
of moving
series,
and you're going to see what we're talking about. Yeah. Every possible scenario happened on that flight, and it was challenging. And I really think that doing that with you gave me the confidence that I could do this.
So for everyone who writes in or comes to us and says, oh, I'm just a private pilot, but here's my story, or I'm just a private pilot, but here's what I experienced. Stop with the just. Like, you are a private pilot. Like, how amazing is it that you are
certified?
You are certified to fly a freaking airplane, and you get, like, private pilots do some of the toughest flying. I mean it, especially ones who, I want you to get your instrument rating if you don't, but the ones who don't have their instrument rating and they're trying to traverse the country in VMC, the amount of planning it takes to be a VFR only pilot and actually get somewhere is astronomical. So pat yourself on the back. I want you to be proud of you.
Be proud of yourself. And speaking of that, share the stories. Share your first flight. Share your first solo. Share when you decided you're going to buy your first airplane. Like, yeah. We want to hear those stories because I think the most rewarding thing I do as an instructor now is I have those three things happen in my life a lot. And it is super exciting. Mindy was asking me, like, what gets me fired up? That gets me fired up is the adrenaline of hopping out of an airplane, the adrenaline of putting somebody in an airplane for the first time, the adrenaline of teaching someone how to fly and giving them the confidence to go purchase an aircraft.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no kidding. So the stories that you guys can submit, we love the drama. We love the funny. We love the scary. But if you have even a story that is just that could be motivational or inspirational to other people listening, submit that. I would love to read some feel good stories about what you have overcame to become a pilot or to become an aircraft owner or to get through some big milestones in your aviation career. Because I do think that's important to share. I think it's extremely relatable and everyone can use some inspiration and motivation from time to time. Even the most successful people in your life look for inspiration in others.
100%. And let's not forget about my air traffic control brothers and sisters. Like, same thing. First time on the scope. First time getting certified.
Like, those are big moments.
Big moments.
So submit them, CaptainJohnDoe.com. It's fully anonymous, so don't worry about what you're saying. Just make sure you put it in a good structure for us to read on the show, which you guys have been crushing it.
Crushing it.
So amazing. So subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We release episodes every single Wednesday. We love to help get you through your midweek, whether that's on your way to work right now, maybe you're in the car driving, maybe you're at the gym. Hello. Thanks for letting us into your brain domes.
And the best way you guys can do to help this podcast is leave reviews. It is
free 99.
We are moving more reviews right now. I think we have over 100 right now across all platforms, and that is helping us stay relevant on the apps to get this out and, yes, you know, help with future, you know, work that we do. So I think we're going to start reading some reviews like we did last week to just kind of share what you guys are saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important for us to read and to understand what you guys are loving. So, leave us a review. Maybe we'll read it on the show. Maybe
5 stars only.
Yeah, 5 stars only. Maybe that's the way that you are involved in the show. Maybe you're like, oh, I don't have a story to share. But if you leave a review, that's a way you can be a part of this. So, R.A. Sawyer, 5 stars. Truthfully, this podcast is fun and interesting, not only for pilots, but really anyone. Love it. And that's true. We have a lot of our non-pilot friends that tune in.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting to me.
Heli Nomad said, epic 5 stars only. We have had enough aviation podcasts that are serious, sober, and educational. This podcast, neither of those things.
Hey.
Unleashes the dark, humorous side of aviation that never leaves the flight deck. Get ready to laugh, cry, and sometimes question why we decided to build a career in aviation. Keep up the great work.
Max, that's actually fantastic.
That's a perfect review.
Yeah. Low Country Wing Nuts, 5 stars. There are a ton of aviation podcasts available, but this one is different. This is much more laid back and almost like sitting around with pilot friends telling stories. Absolutely worth a listen. That's exactly why we built this.
Yes.
It's among friends, just us friends.
So the other thing Mindy and I were talking about is getting in on the old Reddit stuff.
You've heard us talk about Reddit a lot because we find some great stories here.
So what we're thinking is we're going to try to create a Captain John Doe subreddit, I think they're called. I'm not that in the know of Reddit, but we're going to put it out there and we want you guys to join it.
Another way for you to submit
stuff that way as well.
Yeah. Yeah. If so, go to Reddit, search for Captain John Doe podcast, and we will be trying to build a community there. That way you guys can also submit your stories there, read other people's stories. Almost like you can peek behind the curtain of our submissions, because right now when they come through the website, of course, they're private to us. But on this Reddit subreddit thread, you'll be able to see other people's submissions. And that'll be interesting for you guys to read, and probably be interesting for you guys to then hear us read the ones you saw online and how we discuss it.
Yes. So keep an eye out on that. We should hope to get that swinging pretty soon. But anyways, Mindy, would you like to start with our...
I would. I have a flight attendant story. Ooh. Which I want more of these. I want all you guys, pilots, to start sending the show to your flight attendant friends, because flight attendants bring the drama. We know that. We know that from the crash pad series that we did, where we told all about crash pads. All of the crash pad stories we saw were like, only get crash pads if it's pilots only, because if there's flight attendants in the mix, things are going to get crazy. And that's what I want to hear.
Well, let's see what you get.
When I first started as a flight attendant for a major U.S. airline, I was 23, absolutely ready to live. Forget a relaxing night in. Every layover was a potential adventure. So when my very first layover was in Las Vegas with a glorious stress-free deadhead flight home the next day, I was hyped. I asked my crew if they wanted to hit the strip, but they were all seasoned veterans, the senior mamas who wanted their rest. So I went out solo. I found myself at a high roller table meeting a group of guys. Being a broke new hire, I played it cool, acting like I was a gambling shark. I played hardball, and honestly, I ended up spending about $1,000 of their money at the table. One guy and I completely hit it off. We spent the entire night until the sun came up, hopping between casinos, drinking top shelf liquor, and eating a ridiculous 3 a.m. steakhouse dinner. Only in Vegas, right? As the sun rose, he kissed me on the forehead and sent me home in a taxi cab with $500 in my hand.
Good for you.
Jealous. I stumbled back to my hotel room around 6 a.m. in the morning. Our crew van was leaving at 8 a.m. I came downstairs looking like absolute dog shit, and I immediately got cornered and chewed out by one of those senior mamas. Her parting shot? Just because you're deadheading doesn't mean they can't test you for alcohol at any time. Yikes. A few days later, that Vegas guy texted me. He needed to see me, and he followed it up with an email containing booking confirmations for 4 different penthouses across Las Vegas. Totally out of my norm as a broke flight attendant. I flew back out the very next week to meet up with him. I was met with a limo pickup at the airport, champagne and roses. It was a whirlwind, proof that sometimes the only thing you need for a major glow up is a little courage and a Vegas layover. Anyway, if you're ever in need of a sugar daddy, just know that the flight attendant life has its perks.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
I have so many more questions.
Oh man, that was great.
This is the worst part about us not actually having guests on, is because I always have so many more follow-up questions. I need to know so much more.
We're just going to put our interpretation on what happened then, didn't we?
I know. I love it. First of all, I agree that so many people that we know, I don't think, take advantage of the travel life associated to working in the industry.
That is a great point.
And I love that she was like so eager and excited to travel and took advantage. Obviously, probably shouldn't stay out till 6 a.m. when you have to show up for work in an aviation career at 8 a.m.
She didn't know? Question mark?
I don't know the regulations with deadheading, but as her senior mama said, they can test you for alcohol. So I assume that means she's still on the clock. I am not an airline wizard of rules. Obviously, if she was working the next day, this would be really bad. But I think she was still technically working.
Well, let's just say we don't know. So we're not going to comment on
that.
We're
going to let that part go. But I love someone that's traveling for work and taking advantage of it.
Did I read this right? Or understand this right, that this was her first trip ever?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh. Oh. You can't go out on that big of a high day one, though.
That's what I was thinking. She probably came home and was like, I just entered the best career decision of my freaking life.
I made it, baby. Mama, I made it.
But really, I also love, I mean, we live in Las Vegas, so this is very relatable to us. I love the Vegas culture of high rollers, and I love seeing it. When we walk through the casinos and we see the high rollers, we see the high limit tables, and then you can just tell who's got it like that. It is so fun to people watch in Las Vegas, and then to see the girls flock, chef's kiss. I respect the game.
What we have not done, though, as new Las Vegas natives, is eat the 3 a.m. steak at the steakhouse.
No.
We've not done that yet.
No, we haven't. 3 a.m.
We don't stay out that late.
I mean, sometimes it's when we do.
Well, when we first moved here, we probably mentioned this, but like some of our friends said, you got to set boundaries because every single day people are here trying to pull us out to the strip. So we now know that we need to probably be home by like 10.
And here's the problem. We love gambling.
Yeah.
And so we do gamble often, but we gamble low because that's our boundary. Obviously, I'm not going to gamble our month's rent because I that would be painful. But I think something really funny that you and one of our best friends do is you guys get tipped in your jobs, your pilot jobs.
Yes.
He flies for a charter and gets lots of tips, and you get tipped a lot during your Discovery flights and stuff. And I love that you guys always save your tip money to gamble with. And we gamble with him literally once a week at least.
That's how we gamble. I'm never taking money out of the ATM. I'm only using that because I'm trying to be relatively smart. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be gambling our rent money, like you said. So, like, yeah, the tip money goes to the casino, period. That's where it's going.
Well, the hardest part about living in Vegas is what you said. People come through. But when they come through and they want to see us, like friends of ours, acquaintances, people that we know, they're like, hey, I'm in town for 2 days. Let's meet up. That's exactly it. They're in town for 2 days.
And in this Vegas.
And that's their only Vegas trip all year or for the foreseeable future. So when they come for 2 days, they are ready. They are ready to spend money at the most expensive restaurants. They are ready to hang out till 4 o'clock in the morning. They're ready to rent their month's rent because they're only here for 2 days, but we live here, so we have to set some boundaries. Like, I was out with a friend on Monday. She's one of my friends from Florida, here for a conference. Typical Las Vegas story. She's like, let's go meet up. Of course, she wants to go do an expensive dinner, so I'm like, okay, like, I'm honestly here for it. I do love eating out in Vegas. And then I hung out with her after dinner for a couple hours, and she's ordering martinis and stuff. And I can see her side-eyeing me like, why are you not partaking? And I looked at her and I was like, I'm so sorry that I am not going to stay out like until 2 a.m. with you tonight, and I'm not drinking tonight. But this is a Monday.
This is a work
day. And she goes, oh, right. Because people get here and they get in the Vegas like mindset of party, which I love. And they forget that it's a Monday and I live here. So I'm just on a normal Monday night, which I love that I have the ability to go out on a Monday and it feels like a Saturday. But I do have several careers that I'm trying to bounce right now. And so she's like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's Vegas is so much fun.
It is so much fun. Yeah. Like Mindy said, we typically won't drink. If you guys come out and you want to meet up, we're not going to drink. So don't get mad because it's a Monday. Remember that. We got to work tomorrow. I got to fly.
It's all Mindy's scenario based. Right. But yeah. But I do love, as a woman, as a female, love when guys give me money to gamble with.
You wouldn't have one sitting across from you that does that, do you?
No, you take my money. No, if you're with me, I don't get any perks of being a Las Vegas female. When you're not with me, I get all the perks.
I was about to ask for another hundo last night at the table because I was getting smoked.
You did get smoked. We sat through our worst ass whooping last night in blackjack. Worse. And we didn't even mean to. We were going on a date night last night. It's a long story short. We ended up at a blackjack table instead of what we thought we were going
to
do.
We wanted a bowl, but instead we played.
You wanted bowl?
To bowl.
To bowl. Yes.
Bowling.
Anyway, we ended up at a blackjack table. We got smoked. We sat there for 3 hours.
I don't know. I lose track of time because it's fun.
Maybe not. Maybe 2.5 hours-ish. We sat at this table, a very low limit table. And after all of that, I came out up $81 after 2.5 hours.
And I came down $70.
Yeah, you lost money. At least I came out with money. As a household, we're up $11. But I looked at you and you're like, wasn't that so fun? You came out on top even after all that. Because that was a tough go. Like the amount of fours I got. Good God. But yeah, you're like, isn't that great? I'm like, no, because in 2.5 hours, if I had spent that 2.5 hours on my computer towards business, I would make way more than $81.
We were having way more fun yeah. at the blackjack table.
I agree. The entertainment. Well, anyone looking for a fun layover, pick up a Las Vegas trip because maybe you can find your next sugar daddy or sugar mama.
It's not going to be me or Mindy, by the way.
No. No, I support enough.
All right. I'm going to get into the next story. This one is was interesting to me. It was revolving around a teacher taking their students on a field trip.
Oh, I wouldn't have suspected a story like this.
No, it's not having to do with flying or anything. It's actually a little bit, the kids weren't good. So.
Oh, gosh.
Mindy and Kevin, I love the new podcast. You guys are really great together. This may be just a funny story and not podcast material. We've said this 1,000 times. Break.
It's always podcast material.
If you guys decide to use it, please edit it as you feel necessary. No, not going to edit it.
No edits.
No. If you should use this story in your podcast, I will begin by saying to any listener who is part of a high school aviation program, this story is an example of what not to do on a high school aviation field trip.
I can't wait for this.
It's 1974. I'm a sophomore at Oklahoma City High School. Okay, I got that wrong. This is him telling his side of the story, not a teacher.
Oh,
okay.
Even better.
It's 1974 and I'm a sophomore at Oklahoma City High School. Rather than take biology, I take intro to aviation. There was no FAA testing and it probably did not meet the regs as a ground school. It was simply an introduction to aviation. The teacher is in his mid-50s, has a military haircut and kindly demeanor, but also as a teacher's low BS threshold. Also, he has a teacher's low BS threshold. He walks with the obvious disability and does not hear well. Within the first couple of weeks of class, I remember a guy behind me says, "Oh, great. We're learning about aviation from a guy who has apparently crashed at least once." And that's mean.
Pretty much all my teachers were in that scenario.
The teacher arranged a tour for the class at Aero Commander, which was located at the Wiley Post Airport. We've been there. We were going to take a tour. I don't remember if they were still manufacturing the Aero Commander 500 at the time. Plus, we could take rides in a small plane. I remember getting to go up in what was probably Aero Commander 200 for a couple circuits around the pattern at Wiley Post. I was one of the lucky ones because it all ended rather quickly.
Uh-oh.
There was no bus to take us to Wiley Post, so since many of our class had their driver's license, we grouped up and drove. That's hard to imagine in 2025, but 50 years ago, nobody thought much of it. It seemed like every other car in student parking lot was a 60s era 289 Mustang. You could probably buy one for under $1,000 back then. We arrived unscathed, and they broke us up into small groups to tour around. My small group took the first flight. We got back and walked to the main building, and our teacher was beside himself because three guys had not shown up. Remember, this is before cell phones. They were probably half an hour late when a minute later, they literally came stumbling through the front door into the lobby area of Aero Commander. The teacher motioned them over to him. A couple of us standing near the teacher evacuated the area so as not to be hit by any strays incoming. As the three walked by us to where the teacher was standing in the corner of the lobby, we were hit by the alcohol odor coming off these three clowns, all whom were probably not yet 18.
Uh-oh.
Fun fact, back then, 18 was the legal drinking age, for those of you who don't know. It changed to 21, though. I don't know.
Okay, Kevin.
My friend and I walked behind a large potted plant and turned around to see the indoor fireworks that were sure to go off. We saw the teacher's face register underage drunk students who drove to his field trip when suddenly the first clown threw up all over the floor.
Oh, no.
This was followed quickly by clowns 2 and 3, and the shoes and cuffs of the teacher's pants were not spared on the onslaught.
Oh, no.
Hard to believe, but I directly witnessed it. I was only 15, but I could appreciate this was clearly an actual workplace, and we were not the only people with business there that day. What happened next? The teacher called over a responsible senior classmate and my friend and me and told us to just stay in the area where the students were rotating through the tours and tell them the tour is over. Something came up and get back to school. Seems like a janitor was there quickly to clean up the mess. Thinking back, the whole event didn't seem to attract much attention from the Aero Commander people, as it may maybe people take a flight test and throw up. Seems like that would not be that all. Seems like that would not be all that common. Anyway, immediately after the janitor showed up to mop, the teacher hustled those three outsiders and they left, probably in the teacher's car. I remember watching the senior do what was asked, and I remember him saying to us that maybe we shouldn't spread this around school since only a very few were witness of what had happened and that might get our teacher in trouble.
Snake.
We did like him, and we didn't want to see that.
Friend.
I have no memory of ever learning what, if any, consequences the drunk students or the teacher faced. 50 years ago was such a different time. No cell phones, no social media. The teacher passed away 25 years ago. Probably about 15 years ago, I was stopped in the OKC airport by a classmate who was one of the witnesses, and we had a chuckle over it. He told me he attended church with our old teacher and that his disability was from military service. He was apparently severely wounded on a bombing mission in World War II. The 70s were a different time.
Oh my gosh. First of all, kids are awful that, of course, they immediately think a disability is...
Yeah.
It's something like that. And yeah. And this poor teacher got, you know, injured in the military.
Oh, man.
First of all, but
I could imagine dealing with that. You got three. I like how you kept calling them clowns, puking all over the floor, knowingly going into an airplane. Oh, my gosh.
I wonder if. Okay, there's two ways it could be. Probably option one is that they're just dumb students. I imagine this wasn't in the afternoon. This is probably like a morning thing.
Yep.
Right?
I would bet that it was probably in the morning.
So were they drinking because they had the day off of school for a field trip and they were like, oh, let's drink. We're stupid clowns. Or is it option two that these little boys were actually pretty nervous about this flight and they decided to drink because of the nerves?
I think they probably were trying to be cool to all their other classmates, be like, oh, we're coming in drunk to go on this plane and not thinking anything.
They want to pop bottles on the private plane.
They want to pop bottles. But instead of popping bottles, they popped their vomit.
Disgusting. And they never even got a ride out of it. So they didn't even get a cool story.
No, but this guy got a ride at least. So he was lucky.
I would be so mad if I showed up and I was one of the kids that didn't get to go because my stupid classmates came and threw up drunk and I didn't get to go. I would be pissed.
Real pissed. I like the story a lot because it's OKC and Wiley Post where just horrific things happen to young lads going into the FAA.
Yeah.
You went there a couple times with me, didn't
where
you?
Where the FAA trains all of our air traffic controllers. Every air traffic controller you've ever seen or heard has gone through Oklahoma City for training.
In the FAA.
In the FAA.
Specifically. Well, thank you so much. Like we said, every story is good. This is a good one. It's unique. It's not our normal flight or flight attendant or air traffic control story. This is like very unique to like an experience that happened. And this is the type of stuff that I think people are going to like to hear.
I would never want to be responsible for children, other people's children. Maybe even my own future children. I do not want to be responsible. Like shit like this. Hard pass. I do not want to be in the firing line.
What do you do, like, after if you're the teacher, like, how do you even go?
I think the teacher covered it up. It's clear that they would have had a different ending to this about how they got in trouble. But they even said that the senior kid that was drunk said maybe we shouldn't spread it around and not get the teacher in trouble. And the teacher was like, please don't, because I will get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think that you're right.
And in the 70s, you, like they said, 70s were a different time. You can cover it up because if it was 2025, there would be 1,000 pictures and videos of those kids vomiting all over the floor on Instagram and Snapchat.
You're right. Things are so different now.
So they could actually cover it up.
Can't get away with nothing.
Can't get away with nothing. That's good. It's good and bad, right? Like, it's good because people are held accountable a little bit more, but it's bad because... Man, does everything need to be online?
Everything.
And that's coming from me, who's an influencer. A lot of people think that I put my entire life online. I don't. I'm actually a pretty private person.
You put like less than 1% of what we actually do online.
Right. It's very aviation centric. And even all my aviation stuff, there's a lot of things I do and fly that are very private and not online.
I mean, we honestly fly once a week. So you're telling me that there's nothing we do in between that?
I mean, in the world that I'm flying with now, in the jet world, I fly jets now that I don't put on social media at all because it's the privacy of the clients that I'm flying for.
At all.
There's certain jets that have never even seen the light of day on my Instagram. Meanwhile, everyone who follows me on Instagram probably like, oh my God, she posts everything she does. But I don't.
That's a really fun point you made.
Yeah.
Because there's some jets that you've flown, but, you know, no one ever would know because that is the world. If you guys are getting into the private aviation sector, you know, depending on your client, they might not want anything to do with their personal space being online.
Right. And even to the point of where some of them I wouldn't even post, and I wouldn't, even with the tail numbers hidden or whatever, it's just that I'm there to show up and do a job and fly the plane. And me going home with photos I can share is not a part of that process sometimes. Yeah. If it is, great. And some clients love it. They know me from online. They want me to share it. Some people I sell to request that I put it online.
Love that.
I do love that. That reminds me, I just posted a YouTube video. I sold a 2022 Cessna 182 to a guy, and I filmed the delivery flight. So I gave a little bit of behind the scenes of being an aircraft broker, what it took to sell. I flew it from Kentucky to Atlanta, Georgia, dropped it off. And then the video ends with me turning the plane off, and you hear me on the ramp in the video say, oh, there's my customer. He's eagerly awaiting, and I'm so excited to hand him the keys. And then the video ends, and someone commented saying, like, oh man, like, I wish we could have saw the key handoff. Like, I wish we could have saw your customer and saw that interaction of you actually handing it over. And me too, some customers are okay with it, but some of them, I would never pressure them to be a part of my online persona, even though they know it exists and they're okay with me doing it. And of course, he was fine with me filming in his airplane and loves the video, but I don't think that he would want to be in the video. And yeah, some people I could just kind of snip that out, and I wouldn't even ask them because I just don't want to put that pressure on them. Or for that, I don't want anyone to ever think that I'm doing something because of social media. Like, I am there to do a job. I'm there to sell you the airplane, deliver it safely, and do all those things. And anything that I put on social media that you, me and you agree on is the icing on the cake. But if I don't get a singular Instagram photo out of it, that's totally fine too. That's not why I'm here.
Yeah, 100%. I'm obviously not an influencer and not very active, but if you ever see me post anything in a work plane, I'm by myself, because I'm never going to put my student in a position where I even need to ask them. I do have one though that likes it.
And you're paid by the hour. If you're on your phone trying to get social media photos and you're getting paid hourly in that situation, like, no. Yeah.
So if you see anything online, it's a solo trip for Kevin, unless the student
wants to do it,
which I have request. One student that videos everything because he goes back and reviews the lesson.
And he likes to post on social media.
And he likes to post on social. So it's a twofold. And there's a couple customers that will want us to put GoPros in the cockpit and go out by ourselves and do maneuver demonstrations for them. So like there's a wide berth, and it's just,
okay, what a phrase.
Okay.
Who uses that phrase?
We're getting older now, Mindy.
That doesn't mean a wide berth is like when you're driving a semi truck.
I'm saying there's a wide berth.
You mean a wide spectrum.
There's a wide berth.
No, stop saying wide berth.
Like stuff like that. Whatever, woman.
You freaking weirdo.
She would have to deal with.
Okay. Well, everyone else was thinking it. I was just saying the quiet part out loud.
Well, thank you guys so much for these submissions. Like, we need them to keep coming in because this makes this podcast. We have a lot left, but they will run out. Just like 30 Jobs episode, what Mike Rowe would always say, I can't do this show without you guys. And Mindy and I cannot do this show without you guys.
For the people, Morgan.
Stop getting us sued. The lawyers are going to have a field day.
Okay, bye.
See ya. Thanks for flying with Captain John Doe. If you have a story to share, visit CaptainJohnDoe.com and stay anonymous. New episodes every Wednesday. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and tell your favorite crew members.